good. So call the meeting to order. 6:03. Thank everybody for coming. Why don't we take just 2 seconds and everybody introduce themselves. We've got a couple of new legislators and some new faces and just so we'll say hello.
Ron Lapp, District 21, Rochester, Wilson.
Jonathan Hepner, District 23, Woodstock, Wilson, and Glenfield.
I'm not part of it.
Sorry, everybody's going to introduce themselves.
I'm John.
I'm Dallas. I'm Tracy Bartels, District 16, Gardner Shunham.
Mary Boro, District 1, sorry.
Chris Scherringer, Deputy Clerk.
Rich Perry, Formal Town.
Curly.
Thank you, Mel. Director of the Board.
Thanks, Ray. So, we're going to open meeting. Did everybody get the, sorry about getting the minutes out late. That was my fault. Did everybody get to work out after that?
Okay. Normally, I just pushed up before. Normally, I abstain when I wasn't at the committee, right. But recognizing that if I abstain, or if we, all of us who weren't there abstain, as the first thing, you're never going to pass. So, the purposes of moving them forward, I'm going
to. I'll make a motion. Second. 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 Any discussion? You know, my only discussion on that is when we have, like, the full legislative meeting, we vote to approve the minutes of the previous meeting. If somebody wasn't at the previous meeting, they always vote. Totally the unanimous, yes. So I don't think you have to be at the meeting.
No, I know you don't technically. You need to talk this in a circle. I think
as presented.
Yeah.
Well, that would cover you.
Yeah. I think in general, just for myself, if I'm not there, unless I listen to the tape, which I certainly could do, just due diligence. But I'm gonna vote to approve it today so that we can.
Okay. So all in
favor?
Aye. Opposed? Carried 5-0. Okay. What I want to do, we'll let if it's okay with the committee, when Tim or Dennis, when we have guest speakers, we kind of let you get their resolution first. So they can talk to us and get out of here if they're not, So Tim?
Yeah. I just take some minutes really quick. Okay, I'll take a run at the news and
recovery.
Yeah. Real quick, we ended the year pretty good financially. As you know, the State Controller's Office wants us to be in that 10-20% range for reserves in our operating budget. We have to have a little more than the municipalities because commodities fluctuate and things like that. And our business is having more of a buffer. We ended the year with about 1.8 million in reserves, which puts us around that 50% mark. We're right about today, which is probably what we should be. That's good. We have two board members that are up. So what we did, we're at our enabling acts reads that if the legislature doesn't appoint the board members, the old board members stay on, which is not normally a big issue. However, two of my board members, one moved to Florida permanently, and the other one is in South Carolina.
So you're at a just a quorum when everybody's there.
Yeah, he moved to Florida permanently. And then he was in South Carolina. He goes down there every year for a few months. So what we did is we put the annual meeting off. We're supposed to hold it in January. The board voted to put it off to hold the February meeting, hoping that the legislature would appoint two board members and we have a full slate that they can hold the annual meeting and vote on the chairman and so forth, treasurer, and set the meeting dates. So we do have a meeting next week, Wednesday. And for the new legislators here, you guys will be getting emails from the resource recovery. We always email this committee with the agenda, whatever it is. Our meetings right now are on fourth Wednesday of the month, although that may change next month. So you'll be getting an email from us probably tomorrow afternoon. You're welcome to attend if you want. So we usually send it to this committee and we send it to Krista. Anything else? Bodies are not doing well. They're in the tank. But we knew this was coming down. You can see what's going on in China. As soon as I watch the news, my head will start turning around. What's going to happen tomorrow, right? So I think China's growth is down 7%, but it was up in the 20% range over the past years. So come on, he's in that team.
So are you tricking them? Are you sitting on them, or are you just getting losing money when you...
The dual stream, well, we sign as much as we can with the dual stream. I don't have to worry about fire hazards and safety if I stack them too high, but we do wait up, we do hold them, and we watch what the commanders are doing, and at some point we make it a city when it comes to safety issue, I should make a shift. The dual stream is still getting paid for. The single stream, we have to pay to get. We were fine a few years ago, we were making $12-$15 a ton. Last summer we dropped down to zero. They were still paying the trucking that they were doing. Then it went up to about $5 a ton they were giving us. And 3 days before the first year, I went to the phone call from one of the brokers, and they said, well, you're going to start paying us $10 a ton to get rid of it. So, and another, the other broker I tried had, there's two main brokers in the area. He said, we're going to be seeing the fall, I figured probably February 1st, we're going to start charging. So, fortunately, there's no pay for the trucking. Mm-hmm. And one of the brokers told me they come to a point, they're shutting down their shifts in their plant. They used to have three shifts, we have one shift. He said it may come to a point, because I don't want to scare you, but I might not take it from you at all. I don't care how much you get. So that's the particular option. If that happens, I don't know, but we're trying to figure it out.
So the single stream stuff that's coming with Kingston and what else?
Kingston, Sotheby's, Ulster, Marbletown, and the private haulers.
Did Sotheby's work with you guys, or I don't think
that's yet? They did. They went single stream. So the haulers are I'm going to get right there. I'm going to say it's probably about 70% of the single stream.
Is the private haulers?
And see what's happened if you look at it. As soon as the market starts to tank, you can see the tonnage. In 2014, we did about 6,000 tons. In 2015, we did 9,000. That's a 33% increase. And why? Because the owners look at it as a financial thing. And they say, well, zero typically at the RA, the fuel and so forth, we're not making any money on it. This is not on the RA.
So what are the agency's options in terms of the haulers? You could start charging the tipping fee because it's not municipal solid waste, right?
Which is not unusual. Okay. A lot of places charge tipping fee for recycling.
And as far as the municipality, it's still within the agency's purview to require that it not be single stream. I know that's controversial, but that was an allowance made for Kingston, right? It began with Kingston and then followed on with Sotheby's and...
Well, so they don't... Sotheby's, Marbletown, and... and Ulster, we don't service them anymore.
So they're out of contract?
They're out of contract, and we have a private owner. Sotheby's and Marbletown have a private owner. Ulster services themselves, and Kingston services themselves.
So they would all fall under the potential of having to just pay tipping fee?
If that's what the board wants to do. If the board wants to make a flat tipping fee, whatever it is, whatever they want to come up with.
Because right now, if the agency is paying to get rid of recyclables, then the agency is subsidizing the recyclables for those municipalities in the private sector.
Well, actually, the people that are paying the tipping fees are subsidizing, right?
People that are paying the tipping fees for municipal solid waste
are subsidizing. Yeah. Right. So the contractors, those people, and to give you some rough numbers, at 9,000 tons. We budgeted this year at $5 a ton. That's the way, like the last quarter of last year was at $5 a ton we were getting paid.
Right.
So in our budget, that's what we put in, $5 a ton for this year. Now we have to pay $10 a ton, so that's a $15 a ton swing. So if you do the math, $15 a ton, if we do 9,000 tons like we did last year,
that's 9,000.
So if you do the math, that's $135,000 now. If you want to look at it, the John said, like in the tipping fee, you know, you figure for every dollar we save or we spend, it's about $120,000
on the tipping fee.
So we do 120,000 tons a year, about. So if you spend 120,000, you got to raise the tipping fee by a dollar. So what you want to basically mean is that you got to raise the tipping fee for everyone.
By $1.
$1 just to try to get rid of the, just to try to break even. And even then you're not going to break even.
And then you
Jim Grell, you know, I've been following this for a while in the newspapers. Stock market's falling apart. China controls the market in these commodities, and it was predictable. And the ratepayers can't subsidize us. If the county wants recycling, which we do want, maybe the county has to support it. And if it can't pay the guy who's running his, who's throwing his, you know, who's bringing his municipal solid waste, say, well, now you got to pay another couple of bucks to take care of the recycling people. It's just not a good business model. And it was absolutely predictable that this problem would happen.
And just so you know, waste management is showing down four major industrial plants in the U.S. If for a variety of reasons, the product isn't nearly as good. But also, too, China's becoming, not only they're not buying it, but when they do, they're becoming extremely selective in what they're taking. Waste management tried sending single stream to India. It was a disaster.
Can you explain just single stream and double stream? Because there's some new cities. Because I get a little confused. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. We have dual stream, we have single stream recycling. Our plant at the RMA can process dual stream. And if you think of it this way, that means you're keeping all your fiber away from everything else. So when you say fiber, newspaper, and cardboard, you're keeping separate. And your glass, you're keeping separate. You can't mix it. And your plastic and your metal cans and so forth all in one bin. I can separate it that way further. And then what we do is we bale it, like a big hay bale. Mm-hmm. And then you have a wire tied. That's dual stream. Single stream is when you put everything together all in one bin. There's some problems with that. What happens is, you know, you got the spaghetti jars in there, leftover spaghetti sauce, they break, they get, the glass gets ground into the paper, so there's the spaghetti sauce, and what happens, end up going to the paper mill ends up rejecting it. I was told by one broker, I haven't verified this, but I was told by one broker, from dual stream paper, they can recover about 90% of what's brought in. On single stream, they can only recover about 40%. And I suspect he's going to be sure there's not more you and that. I didn't hear that at a conference. Brokers told me that.
So Kingston's got a problem with this. They're all single street, aren't they?
They're all single street. And the reason that the haulers went first to it, it was a huge push, is because they save money on the street. So instead of needing a couple of guys on the street, because you had different bins and you had different trucks and putting things in the different trucks, that didn't work with one, but waste, or county waste is a split body truck. They'll go in and stock it along one side of the truck, and they'll put the garbage on the other side of the truck. So it saves the money on the street. They got the one arm that comes up and dumps in. You know, so.
Just to go back to Kingston, Town of Ulster, Marbletown, and Saugerty. Kingston picks up themselves, so they bring it to the agency.
And
they have their own transfer station.
Which they service themselves.
But the stuff that they pick up at curbside, they bring to you.
Yes.
And it's single stream.
Yes.
And they don't get charged any differently than the rest of the town, right?
No, everybody's charged the same, even the private haulers.
And so that's the only one that really is costing the agency, now that you're paying $10 a ton and trucking it up, because you can't process that.
That's correct. Give it all the single stream.
Right. Ulster and Saugerties, I want to take them together, because I understand that, you know, they went with private haulers.
No, Marbletown and Saugerties.
Yeah, I want to talk about Marbletown.
Ulster hired their own.
Yes.
So they didn't hire anybody, Ulster. You just said Ulster hired and Saugerties hired somebody. Ulster didn't hire anybody.
Oh, they're doing Ulster.
They're just doing it themselves. An employee of the town of Ulster is doing it themselves.
Okay, and they're bringing it to
yeah.
RRA.
Yeah.
So then Saugerties hired a hauler, and that hauler is bringing that, well, is that hauler waste management? Do we know?
Laverta.
Okay. Are they bringing it to us, or are they?
Yes.
And then Marbletown, do we know
who? Laverta is also doing Marbletown.
Okay. So, you know, when we were discussing RRA last year and whether there was going to be some net service fee that we were going to pay to help with recycling, we had that conversation. We want to treat everybody equally and fairly, but those four municipalities are costing the agency more than others. I just want to be clear about that. Is that correct?
No.
Because you can't process it there and get the revenue. You have to send it to waste management.
Right.
Pay for the trucking and now pay $10 a ton or whatever it's going to be.
Suppose the haulers are bringing it.
The haulers are bringing it to you. You're not sending somebody else again.
That's probably 70-75% of his.
Yeah.
And I don't have that number
off
the top of my head, but
I've
been guessing. So. Okay. The other 15 municipalities that we do service, they're still on dual stream. So they're bringing it in. Even though we're not making a lot on the dual stream, we're making a little bit. I'm not paying there.
I wanted to be clear. There is a difference in how much benefit to some municipalities and the private haulers are getting from the agency. I'm not making any recommendations about it. I just want to get clarity.
The single stream shoots up again to $10 a ton. You'll see that 9,000 tons that we got, if we took in last year.
Okay.
That'll be right down. Like the year before, 6,000.
Because
they're going to pay for themselves. You still have money.
If we were to charge, maybe they would decide it's worth, you know, the hauler would decide it's worth it to take it to waste management themselves. Mm-hmm. If the RRA, I said we, in case you didn't know, I work for the agency, pretend they are, so I have a little bit of definite identity there. But it just seems to me that if we can keep the agency's costs down, it may end up being a fair way to go. And I think it's worth exploring. Maybe a good place to do that.
But does that balance the site? I don't go to Wildcat,
so I don't care. I just got to get the revenue from somewhere. Or
yeah.
Okay, let's Tracy and let's see.
Again, I think John, when he said it was clear this was going to happen, I think what's clear just in terms of these markets, and Tim can probably get to it over time, is that what's clear is these markets are always changing. You know, it went up with China down, and just in my time here, it's gone up and down. Some years it's great, some years it's horrible. I mean, where we're piling, and we've seen what happened to glass. I mean, I see it somewhat as Nana's discussing, in that in the same way you're saying that the private sector, when the markets are up, benefits by keeping it for themselves, and then they dump it on the agency when it doesn't cost anything, when they're not getting any benefit. Now we have the private sector and only certain municipalities that have chosen not to contract with the agency and not to deliver according to the terms of the agency's ability to process, which, not to retread old things, Brevin, we've talked about that over years and years, about the decision to allow certain municipalities to go single stream maybe being a bad decision because of the value of the finished product. I think that just on that, and I realize this is a conversation for me and the committee to have with the board, but I think that rather than that additional fee going to the whole system, when we talk about taxing the users or charging the users, in this case, it would seem to me that it should go to those users that are not delivering it in the most valuable way, which is dual stream. So
you could also just not take any recyclables.
At all? We require that you recycle, and the concept of for the municipalities that we have contracts with, not taking the recyclables is, to me, totally and wholly irresponsible.
Well, it's just what happens, though. When you make contracts, you think the Chinese are going to be there forever.
But it's not just about the Chinese. It's about their responsibility of having... Yeah, but to me, recycling is not just about money.
No, it's a good idea.
Correct.
And have to them so that they don't get caught short.
Okay, can I just ask that?
Yeah.
Since we have
talking about some different proposals and stuff. These are good to me and those who need it. Just an idea of what, I know it's all based on predictions of commodities, but can you kind of predict a timeline and based on, you know, the financial outlook that you can see, if things kind of stay the way they are right now, where, you know, you're in $5,000 negative per ton, just some sort of timeline and the urgency, where you foresee this down the road, just the how, since we're talking about proposals, what type of timeline are we working on?
The good news is that we have money in reserves.
Okay.
We've got about $1.8 million in reserves. So I shot an email to the board of directors when we were discussing this very thing. I said, you know, we could charge $10 a ton, you know, one board member would charge 10 and maybe 5 for a loading fee. And so there's a lot of ideas about that. And I did throw it out to the board, and I'll throw it out to this committee as well. The other option is to do nothing. Like I said, if we take in 9,000 tons again this year, and again, that's, I don't see us taking in much more than that because we do have permit limits as well that I have to adhere to. But if we take in another 9,000 tons of $135,000 hit, we're going to take, we've got $1.8 million in reserves. It's not a huge amount of money.
And the market could change later in
And the market could change. Now, I personally, I don't think it's going to happen that way. I think it's probably going to stay about where it is. I hope it doesn't get worse. Because the nuclear option, like I said earlier, is one broker said, I'm not taking it. We already stopped taking it from third parties for the most part. We're only taking our own recycling for our own plant. He said, we haven't gotten to that point with you yet. And I said, well, I appreciate that. Because if you stop taking from me, I don't know, I might be shipping stuff to New Jersey, and then it might go from, if right now, you know, $10 a ton or whatever, it might go to $50 a ton or $60. And that's a big, big problem.
So there's no real contingency plan for that nuclear option.
Yeah,
if we're actually physically unable to get things out of the county.
Well, I can't force people to take it.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about the money. Mm-hmm. And if the brokers aren't willing to take it, it's worth nothing to them. Right now it's worth nothing. They're going to charge me $10 for the take. The other broker's going to start that February 1st. They're still paying for hauling. You know, if it comes to that point where they're not going to take it, they're not going to take it. You know, I have to try to figure we've got to ship it someplace. Or the agency is going to try to make the industry.
On that point, on the idea of single stream versus dual stream, when you talk about waste management closing down four plants, are they transitioning or opening a dual stream plant, or are they just, is the overall volume down for waste management? If there's still viability in dual stream, we've seen it in the supermarkets while they've been volatile. Cardboard, you've always said, has been a
cardboard's always been market. The cardboard's down. The markets overall are down.
Yeah.
Those
are more local markets too. We're not using cardboard in China, right? I mean, aren't
there? That's where most of those
come. Really?
Yeah, absolutely. And the one that we're really taking a dig in on are the plastics, is the petroleum.
Mm-hmm.
What, $29 a barrel with it? Well, we're not going to pay hardly anything. And you know, if you look at the personnel cost, if you really want to do a true P&L on that, on a MRF, we're probably losing money on the dual squad.
Right.
We're losing money on the dual squad. Right. They probably are. Right. Even in the good times, we do a monthly P&L now for the board. So even the dual stream is not good, but I'm not getting, at least I'm not getting charged for anything.
Right.
Because I'm getting a few pennies for it. The commodity, it's flooded. The world is flooded with this stuff. And people aren't making new products. If they're not making new products, you don't need recycling. So Russia gets most of their stuff from Europe. Recycling. Brazil is not really up and running yet. That's a possible future market, but it's primarily China, and that's where a lot of the process, you know, I have some people say, well, that could have made sense, because look at the crime footprint. You're shipping all the stuff to China, they're shipping it all to China. And we really do want to write environmental things. So that's my idea. So.
Okay.
Just one thing, well, since still here, I don't want to tell anything on that part of the session. So, is because they're new members, do you think maybe kind of early in the year we could have a meeting at the agency with the board at the same time.
Why don't we wait till spring so we can get to work on the facility?
Okay.
Is that the right one? I'm just leaving it at the agency.
Yeah.
Let's wait till we get to maybe the angle we'll shoot for.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw
it. Yeah, no, we've done that a lot. Last year or two we didn't do it, but that's always been a great, a great day.
I remember when I first became executive director with Kevin Roberts, one of the government committee, didn't have to every month.
Yeah,
we don't go out every month,
but maybe once a year.
I'll give you a good start, if you guys want to come for a tour, anytime, you know, I'll do this one.
I know, and I'm trying so hard to remember this. So the board members, have you had any discussions, Rich, with how these are going to be appointed, and are we maybe going to run, we had discussed running through an interview process like we did with the IDA, running through this committee?
I will talk to Ken. There was a gentleman in High Falls, Jack, who was interested. I met with him, and then he's on like another board or two, a volunteer board, and he just said, because I just can't commit the time. He's really nice. I was disappointed because he's a pretty sharp guy.
What do you think about the possibility how the Economic Development Committee interviews candidates?
At the end of the day, they're chairperson's appointments. You know, they're not, you know, that's... The chair recommends the two appointments. In my conversations with them 3 weeks ago when I told them this gentleman in High Falls was interested, I don't think he had anybody else that was interested.
Okay.
So I can't speak for him though. But I haven't spoken to him at all.
Okay.
2 weeks. So it's certainly not about this at all. So.
Okay.
I feel personal. We're buying from a company that manufactures them in Columbia County.
Wow.
Right across the river. So I went over to the factory.
So exciting.
I went over last Friday before I made a recommendation to the board. I wanted to see the factory, so they invited me over. I saw my other vacuum and so forth. So the board approves it. I'm keeping the money here.
Are they still going to be blue?
I'm going to make them green. But when we order the MSW ones, I'm going to order those blue. But I decided to make these green because this is a 50% reimbursement from EDC.
Right.
So I got to make sure I keep the boxes separate. I can't do this right thing for MSW or with the grant.
But if it does pass, you should maybe just put a little press release out, let people know. You know, I always wrap everybody for buying outside the area, but this is certainly something that I think people will look favorably upon.
Right here, right in the
Lebanon. Yeah, local people. That's great. Thanks. Okay, let's try to bring it in, and she's got 1 minute, and then Dennis will take your
question. Yeah, on behalf of the climate smart community, I want to be sure folks know that on January 27th, there's going to be a kickoff breakfast for Energize New York at the Best Western here in Kingston on Washington Avenue. It's if you remember the Energy Improvement Corporation, which allows businesses to borrow money to do solar installations or energy retrofits and pay it back with their savings on their taxes. And that bill was passed in November a year ago, and they are now showcasing this to the business community. So I wanted to be sure people knew that. And the other thing is, I think this committee will need to, Pete Warren was the liaison to Climate Smart.
Okay.
So you might want to think about
it. Has to be somebody on this committee.
Okay.
Does it? Is that the bylaws?
I think it's one from Public Works and one from Energy and Environment, and then a bunch of other people.
Let's say, Green, do you mind any of the handouts regarding those loans?
you know, if there's a handout or information.
I think it starts at 8.
Is that okay? Just to put the Climate Smart in this program that we passed last year. It's pretty cool. Okay, thanks, Legislator Green.
Thank you.
Okay, Dennis.
I'm here on the resolution regarding the negative declaration for the Hudson Valley Rail Trail Phase
45. 45, number 45. We'll take the second one out of order.
And the county, if you recall, the town of Lloyd has a completed section right now to their park on Old New Falls Road. They have a grant to complete out to the end of Old New Falls Road by the fire company in the town of Lloyd. That work should be done shortly. The county received about almost about $1.5 or $1.6 million to complete from where Old New Falls Road, where the town will stop, out to South Street. We have engaged the legislature to create the capital project. We've engaged the consultant. The consultant's been through the design process. We have a draft design report that's been filed with the legislature as well as with the New York State Department of Transportation. There is, as part of that draft design report, all the environmental information necessary for us to make make a negative declaration. So we're asking the legislature as the agency that needs to make that negative declaration to still make that negative declaration based on the design report we filed earlier.
Can we get a copy of this in the mail? The design report wants emailed to you? Mm-hmm.
Oh, within that time.
Yeah, I didn't make copies of that.
We've done the archaeological work. We've done the work with the State Historic Preservation Office for both archaeological and historic resources. We've also done what they call Endangered Species Act work and ESA work. We've completed our wetland delineations and our wetland work. We won't have to disturb more than a tenth of an acre of wetlands. With respect to the project, we're going to run the old railroad bed as far as we can, the old Maybrook Line railroad bed as far as we can. And then as we need to move off of that railroad bed, because that curves south and heads towards Maybrook in Orange County, we'll go on to the right-of-way from the Department of on 299. We'll be in the area around Graveswood Works, if anybody knows where that is, out on 299. And then...
299,
it's where, you know, where South Street, you know where Lowe's is, on 299? We're on the other side of Lowe's, we're on the other side. The project will end at South Street. We have a parking lot that's adjacent to 299 that's been reviewed by NYSDOT. So we'll have a parking lot that will move in that you can move off of. We moved it back from South Street because of some of the concerns with respect to turning issues off of South Street onto 299. And we're going to do a completed design process to get pedestrians across 299 into Lowe's. We will not fund that design process, and NYSDOT will actually complete the necessary pedestrian crossing on 299.
So this is going to connect to the Walker Valley Road to
We're currently working, we've done a necessary gaps analysis. We're currently working with the Department of Transportation and their capital program. Since the remainder of the trail is completely on NYSDOT right away, we're working with them to get a commitment out of them to complete the new bolts. We hope to have that commitment, I would say, within the vagaries of the budget process. They do a capital program for every 5 years. We hope that it gets included in their capital, in their five-year capital program. We have assurances from the regional director that it will be, but we haven't seen the capital program as of yet. That would get you to the thruway, and then once you move across the thruway, you hit the bridge, the New Paul Bridge, and that has sidewalks on it. So you can complete that way. There's wide shoulders on the thruway for the cyclists. Once we cross that, we're looking at two different ways to get to the rail trail. Clearly, there's a connection here because of the sidewalk system in New Falls. But the other two ways to get to the rail trail is looking at the town of New Falls and some of the development that's taking place to make sure that we have enough right away. There's a proposal for a hotel on that corner of 299 and North Buckhorn Road.
Mm-hmm.
We're working with them to get the necessary right of way for the sidewalks and a wide shoulder on that road, similar to what we've done on going to do on South Buckhorn Road in Utah, to allow the trail to go there, and then we'd pick up Henry W. Du Bois and go right down that way. The other way we're looking at is actually to look at a connection to the college off of South Cut Corners Road. The South Cut Corners Road project has completed its design work and its work. We anticipate construction for that project will start sometime in late 2015 or early 2017. That's 6-foot wide shoulders on each side of that. That's a safety and a pedestrian access project. Looking at that, we're trying to think whether we can come off of that and move across to get down to the college, so we make a strong connection to the college for the trip.
Going right down Main Street?
Go down Main Street. We're looking to see how they make it connected. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. A lot of these pieces for these gaps the trail gaps are filling in right now. We're in the process of putting a map together to show where we are on the various trails. We have three trails and projects right now going through the design process, running through the office.
Great.
Any other questions for Dennis? Thank you, Dennis.
I was hoping I could get a vote.
Yeah, that's pretty next. Do you have a motion now?
I'll move it. Mary's going to move it.
A second.
Tracy, but it's been quick, just so you guys know. Okay, any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you, Dennis.
Neil Gardner was something that he heard down there.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. Now we're going to go to the first resolution authorizing the chairman of the North Carolina Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation to accept grant funds for a comprehensive culvert assessment and amending the 2015 Ulster County Budget Department of the Environment. All right. I'm a little bit frustrated because my name is on it as a sponsor, and Amanda and the executive's office never reached out to me. Did they reach out to you? And I have spoken to them to say, when you have resolutions, I want the department head here or somebody from the executive's office. And please let me know ahead of time when my name goes on the sponsor resolution. So, I mean, I don't know how urgent this is. It seems like there's quite a bit of work put into it. I mean, there's a lot of supporting documentation. And it's not a huge amount of money. But with that said, I mean, I'm not opposed to it. But I think in the future we should, I'm going to reach out to them and just say, I'm not going to put anything on the agenda unless somebody's here to explain it. They at least give us the currency before they put on any money.
You said that.
Yeah. And I've spoken to their office. I've spoken to their office many times. Not many, but a couple. Enough that it gets to the point where I think it's, you know, you don't want to see your name on. So I actually had the newspaper call me once on one thing, and I was like, I had no clue what they were talking about because they submitted it. What was that? That was 2 years
ago. Bridge.
That was the name of the group. They put my name on it. And I'm getting phone calls from her. People are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then I got the resolution and Mike put my name on it. Yeah, so I think, I know they're busy there, but they're not busy enough to pick up the phone and give us a call. And, you know, I certainly wouldn't put a resolution in somebody's committee without your name on it without reaching out.
I haven't.
Yeah, your name's on it. My name's on it. So, do you want to maybe we'll both
all
call him tomorrow?
Yeah, and I'll call him on the specific too. I haven't called him to Amanda, something else anyway.
Okay.
So.
And you want to just, I'll even reach out to us on our email, say, you know, when there's things
that
we'd like you to come. If you can't come, at least give us a good, you know, the supporting documentation is great,
mm-hmm.
but give us an overview of what's going on. I mean, we're not all, to read 100 pages
yeah.
can get a little bit,
yeah.
you know,
Yeah,
I'd rather not have the supporting documentation and have somebody here explain it and get this if you want it.
In the case of something like this, where we're accepting a grant, so it's kind of hard to argue it, but in the instance where, for example, where Amanda can't make it, maybe she could write a, just a, like a synopsis, yeah, or summary, two paragraphs.
Send us an email.
I know it's long days for department heads, but I think this isn't something...
Time, the department head can't make it.
Yeah. Well, there...
Not a time, it's the job.
Yeah, I think that there may be times or instances, and I for one can understand that of any person if they have a conflict, but I don't think this is so much of my call will go to myself. It's not so much a call for Amanda because it's coming out of myself. The concern about us getting a heads up before it comes should go, that should be directed to Mike. So, I'll make a call tomorrow too.
Is that fair? Does anybody oppose that? Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Obviously, they got to the first and second. Any discussion on it?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. All right. Last resolution.
You know, I just wanted, with the committee meeting afterwards at 6:30, I'm going to talk, we need to talk because it's not, we need more than a half an hour. I don't want to come in here and be rushed out. I don't think it's fair to us. It's certainly not fair to the people that are going to come in and talk.
Yeah,
because
it's
only,
usually you only have one person.
Oh, we want
to. Yeah, okay. Normally we're going to be, my normal schedule,
usually after legislative programs.
Well, we're going to talk.
We're going to talk about that.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it in a few minutes, but it's going to come out of a new business.
Okay.
But either way, we should have at least an hour and a half, hour to an hour and a half minimum.
Yeah, this committee.
This committee. We have a lot of stuff. I just think I don't like meetings going more than 2 hours for a good day.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, but certainly an hour and a half is... Okay. So let's go. The resolution, 79, establishing a waterway advisory committee.
Sure. This is really, quite frankly, something I've been thinking about it for many, many, many years, long before I was in this legislature. When I see what happens up in, particularly, Sophus Creek, when people dying for no reason at all, because nobody appears to be going through the process of reviewing the river and looking for hazards. As a matter of fact, I think 2 years ago when I was in that other office down there, I asked Kristen. It seemed to me, I remember 20, 25, 30 years ago, some legislation in a different county that was addressing it. She found it. Now, so we've been working on this, Chris Ragucci and some of the folks have been working on it since last year. But the timing wasn't right. And sadly, that little girl dying this past year in the water in an unsurvivable situation made me move forward rather quickly. And the idea behind it, because that creek, that river, and then of course what I've expanded is the fact that we also have the Walkill and Arundel in Ulster County. And why shouldn't we do this for all of the waterways, for recreation, for economic development? That river up there is so critical to the lifeline of that area, because the city owns 100,000+ acres and the state owns 297,000 acres. And even after this tragedy, you know, the city releases water on a regular basis for recreation and for the fish, keep the water cold. And there was some comments about, well, the city had released the water. Now, all we got to do is say, we're not going to release it anymore. They don't have to release it. The purpose behind this is to get a group together, come up with a report, a method, a procedure where there's a mechanism for observing, surveying the water, the rivers, and determining what is dangerous, what is hazardous, or what maybe is impeding recreation. I think it's long overdue. You know, in the years that I was thinking about it, all I heard was from my friends up in the mountains, well, you can't do it, it's forever wild. Well, you can't do it, it's a wild river. And that's nonsense. That's nonsense when there's a hazard. And everybody, even for a while, said, well, you know, there's a sign there that says it's a hazardous area. I went up and took pictures the other day. There's a little sign saying, enter at your own risk, you know, beware of being swept under. And because of the nature of the environment up there, that's about all they got on their plate in terms of economic development, is people come into the area and visit and leave and have a good time. And the minute that creek up there, that river, gets the name or the reputation of being dangerous or failed, they got a real problem. So what this is to put some folks together, start to review it, start to put a plan together to present to the legislature somewhere down the road. I think it's October or November, to say, here's, well, we, you know, we have already been in conversations with the DEP. Now, it's not their river. It's fine. The DEC owns it. They're not interested in cleaning it up because they own it, but they're not in the recreation business. By the same token, they understand where I'm coming from. And they sort of said, we'll cooperate and try to put something together that can make sense. And some of the thinking behind it was back to what Krista found from 1987, when there were some problems around. I found that Krista found it for me.
What is it you're referring to?
It's a different county. But it's how to protect the river. Review it. See what's going wrong. And I remember 25 years ago, there were two people killed in that creek. There's probably been four or five since I've been up there. The two people killed, this little girl slipped on water that deep, that was fast flowing, and ripped her underneath tree trunks as big as this.
But you had kids too right by it every day. Nothing happens, Rich. You know what? She just got put in a hole. She got trapped.
You know what? But Rich would have been there, and those guys could just easily be swept in. They're mostly like me that don't have good footing anymore. You know, you become a little feeble.
Everybody recognized there was a dangerous strainer, but it's impossible. You know, the highway superintendent, Shandaken, has come to meetings. Remember, he was been at the environmental meeting. He can't even, where there's trees blocking, like, say, where they're, if they get dislodged, they can take out a bridge in Shandaken. He can't even get in there with a chain and an excavator on the side and just pull them out because the DEC in New York City will know. I mean, because a drop of oil is going to spill on it. It's crazy.
I believe that I may come back here where they got my face if this goes through, but I think we can make a difference. There's enough people that want it. I mean, I'm getting those from town supervisors that want to be on this.
Well, that's what I was going to, a long time ago, not that long ago, but one of the towns that worked for Olson Publishing, I covered the town of Shandaken, actually. I was going to say, I think, because I witnessed Supervisor Stanley up there in Tunisia try and deal with this issue, just trying to be the town, they were willing to pay for it, where the beaver kills, the effects with the silfish, they were getting a lot of flooding, and it was just, I think town supervisors seem to be struggling and would accept a little bit of extra, collaboration with other levels of the county. I think local municipalities would welcome, some sort of extra support. My one question, though, is, I know we've been highlighting on the Esopus, but how would we choose, you know, how would this committee go about choosing which waterways it's going to direct its
energy? Well, it's going to start with the Esopus, the Esopus. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the critical one right now. And my first thought was that. I mean, it's the one I see every day. It's my district. Mm-hmm. I'll say, wait a minute, there is the Rondo. And that floods down in Accord and through the whole area. Mm-hmm. There is the Walkhill that floods. Why not, when we present the whole thing, have a plan, talk to the review all of them?
You know, that's what I was going to say, because like Woodstock, we have the Mill Streams, the Sawkill.
Long Talk is a major.
Well, I know, but still, we still have, especially when you talk, then we have tributaries like up in Mancala that's dealing with the Cooper Lake issue and like in different things. But like, say, can a local legislator go to the commission and say, hey, what, can we get an opinion from you guys on a local waterway issue? Is that just a possibility?
Yeah.
Are you keeping it kind of
sure.
Open?
I'm just
curious how the selection process and stuff like that. I understand you can just physically see the changes it's made to.
This isn't about the environment. This is about safety.
Yeah.
Saving lives and promoting the environment and the environmental friendly use of it without people getting hurt.
I mean, my opinion is what John's saying. I mean, it's your resolution. If it began with the concept of the Esopus and the sort of more specific with waterways and the DEP, I mean, even just reading it, you talk about one member is going to be concerned in the watershed, and starting with that focus, I'm going to support it however you end up wanting to move it forward, but I'm wondering if maybe it doesn't make more sense to keep it focused, because the concept of having to deal with every waterway, and I'm not even aware of some of the tributaries you're talking about. I mean, I know they exist, but they're not in my backyard. I live on the Wolfhill. Wolfhill faces totally different, more natural problems than some of the problems presented by the circumstance of living in the watershed under DEP regulations with their outflows, with their restrictions, the things you're talking about where you can't address them. Those are a totally different set of problems. So I don't know if maybe it wouldn't be better to keep it more focused on that waterway and then expand the nature, because it seems like a lot to bite off.
So it's more than waterway. Your skin.
Wolfhill problems have to do with sewage and have to do with all this
stuff. I'm trying to answer that. I mean, it would have been all right for me to just say, you know, Pineville, Boyceville, or whatever. But if we come up with the right thoughts and ideas about that, it would transform the other rivers without a big problem.
Can I make a quick comment? I mean, Lower Soap. The town board park, they got to run kids out of the stream, you know, they can't be there swimming when they open a portal up. So
that's very different than the issue.
No, but I'm just saying that's not just in his area, that's me now further downstream. That could go into, that's Marbletown, that's Hurley, that's Ulster, that goes into Sorby. Sorby has had issues with the Esopus. So, you know,
I don't see any harm in an advisory committee, but a committee made up of, you know,
well, we can change the makeup.
Three legislators and a supervisor and a business owner is quite a lot to tackle answering all the waterway issues in Ulster County by October. I'm sure there are many parallel efforts going on through the DEP, through the DEC, through other organizations, even organizations like I started to think you brought up fishermen like Chatham Unlimited and other interested parties to the livelihood and health of our waterways, which is this. I mean, I did have a question why you had the Trails Advisory Committee as a...
It says Trails Advisory on
it. Yeah, it says resolved that the Ulster County Waterways will seek input from groups, including the EMC, the Ulster County Trails Advisory Committee, Stormwater. It's the second...
Page two.
Second resolved. I just thought that stood out to me. I wonder why the Trails Advisory Committee. Seems like maybe there were other more appropriate ones.
I don't know. I mean, the point I think was that to be inclusive and say, we're going to be talking with everybody we can, including, for instance, an addition to that, the Coalition of Watershed Towns and the Catskill Watershed Commission.
Yeah, certainly.
But we could keep adding people forever.
And it's still not limited.
I just think it'd be, and maybe some of the folks that I work with thought it'd be easier past if we weren't just focusing on my district,
mm-hmm.
or Barton John's district, mm-hmm. because he's heavily in it. And I wanted a couple of more legislators, or at least one more legislator, and the folks that I work with here said, no, you know, you don't want to make it, you don't want to overload it at this point, we can always add more people later on. You know, I don't have every idea in the world, and I acknowledge that, so you figure out what it is. I mean, that's certainly the most dangerous strain there is around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one I'm focusing on. But a lot of the same issues, the same owners, D, E, C, are on the other one. So we're certainly going to concentrate up there. I mean, the CWC that Richie's on really wants to be involved in helping do this, because they know that it's the lifeblood of that entire community, more so than on the Walk Hill, more so than on the Rondell. But yet, you know, the Mabacus over there was always flooded and come across the road.
And that section right in the middle backward there on 209.
Yeah.
Once it floods, it's
so I really and truly didn't want to exclude anything.
When you look at the Walk Hill in New Paltz,
yeah,
that goes for weeks of time before it goes down. It's a big hazard.
And this little thing that we're trying to put together is not to stop that. It's been forward flowing ad infinitum. But do we go down and make sure that there's not a lot of barriers in case some people are canoeing after one of these events, or maybe on a regular basis have the Soil and Water or the Cornell Cooperative or whoever wants to go through it to look for hazards that prevent people from enjoying it. That's kind of what it is. Not, I don't think we're going to be taking water samples.
You just sparked my thought that you might want, unless there's a reason to have the Ulster County Trail Advisory Committee, you might want to replace it with Cornell Cooperative Extension, since it's an organization we work with, and more sense in terms of water.
Don't you think they should have some type of input on the waterway that they're walking next to? I mean, right in the middle of the village there.
Besides, maybe there's some smart people there that have an idea.
Maybe there's some thinking behind it.
I mean, that's not a big change if you scratch it out, but all it really means is talking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the folks that say, no, you can't take that log out of the stream because, you know, the 18-inch brown breed under it. So I'm going to decide if we're there for people or professional.
Right.
So I'm asking, I like this story because... Yes, it's my area, but it's not just my area. It's and people are dying, and we have to stop it or try to stop it. And I even said that to the DEC. I said, come on, don't give me this over about forever while when innocent people are swept away, and it's just not acceptable. And they go like,
so many reasons. Max, you know.
I mean, even say what you want, you know, some folks were in touch with other folks and next thing that stuff got ripped out of the creek where nobody could do it. Well, it happened, you know, it happened. It wasn't totally by accident.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what, and I mean, I'm fine with it, obviously, I'm a sponsor, but I think if there's any other ideas to change it, because it's always amended, you know, in the next 2 weeks or four, you know, to add... Somebody's, you know, I mean, it allows for the executives to make a
point. Well, I'd love to get a legislator to it right now so that I don't have to go fight with Victoria and Jade Amar, you know. They just didn't want me to make it.
You mean make a three additional legislative
members? No, a co-sponsor.
Or a legislator. I mean, it doesn't say that on here, does it?
No, it's two additional. You have the chairman or his representative, which doesn't have to be a legislator.
Right.
And then you have two additional legislative members.
And then
plus
a town.
Plus the supervisor.
That's fine. I guess they did change it then.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you want more, what's the difference? I mean, it's...
Bringing out allows for five.
Yeah, and there's no policy making body. It's only
an advisory.
Dig in and make it work, or don't make it work. That's all. It's got to be presented back to the body later on. So that's where I'm coming from.
Okay. Do we have a motion? Did we do that already?
Yeah, I'll make a motion.
Okay, any more discussion? All right, anybody in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
And I thank you. If this flies through, it'll be good. And this is kind of an interesting issue because it's people. Only good can come out of it, I think, anyway.
Because Mary's on that committee, and they meet out at the college, and they meet out at the college. So, and for you and I, as we live out there, and Tracy's pregnant, we spoke.
It's about the same.
Yeah, it really doesn't make that.
I'll try to bring the XMS once in a while.
But one thing, can I ask?
Yeah. I got a new date. Let me ask you about the date. The programs committee is moving to, right now we're scheduled for the first Wednesday of the month.
Okay.
But we were, right, that's correct, right? First Wednesday. We were thinking, Dave's thinking, and I kind of agree with him, the second Tuesday we have caucus. So if we moved it to the second Monday,
I love it.
We would have two meetings that week, and then we'd have 2 weeks with no meetings. So you have 2 weeks, you have Monday this meeting, Tuesday caucus. The following week, we would have whoever's on laws and rules, which I'm on, would be Monday. The legislative session would be Wednesday.
Just so that you're aware, though, the reason why the second Monday kept open is because your holiday schedule fits the first Monday and the third Monday. That leaves you your second Monday to move those that are on the first Monday when the holiday hits them, they go to the second.
Well, we had environment on the second Monday when I was chairing it.
Right, but we didn't have as many Monday meetings on the first and third, and I can tell you it's hitting all of them a lot this year, that they're all having to move because of holidays happening on the first Mondays. So there's quite a few jumps so that you're going to be conflicting with the other two, the other sessions at this point.
I mean, it sounds like it works, but I see Christmas point as well. You keep moving it.
What's going to happen with your committee? Jump to it also for Mary because she's going to be out there that night. All right.
Well, I mean, I'm good with that.
She's going to have to travel twice to still.
Yeah, and you know what? My thought is, if then you're talking about a regular committee meeting on the first Monday getting bumped, if we're scheduled on the second Monday, then that regular committee meeting is not going to get bumped to our Monday. It's going to get bumped to Thursday or Wednesday.
This would give.
We'll be had options because they would have to get bumped either to the Wednesday. And you all are on those committees as well.
I'm fine with that because, I mean, if it's a holiday like that evening, most of the night I'm back. If I'm away that week, I'm going to be back by Monday evening.
So if something comes up with somebody, we can just figure out a day. We come in here and figure out a day. Even if it's a Friday night, quick, or so, you know, or we can figure that out.
My only, like,
request would be if, I don't, you know better because you're on that committee, let's say programs, if they are, if they start at, what time do they start?
Five.
They, I don't know how long those committees usually go, but if they're, like, usually go around an hour and a half, make it at 6:30 start
time. Right,
right,
right. Right,
so yeah, like, if you want to do six, I can get here. But if I don't want to get that six, so we're waiting around.
Meeting, right?
Well, the formals won't be on it, so we can always start the committee.
Yeah, sure. That's my only
thing. Yeah, my one thing would be
in the same room.
If we're following another committee,
yeah.
As long as we say after, but not before 6 o'clock, so that if all of a sudden they're done.
Right.
I think it would be rare for us to go over the hour.
Yeah, but I think it could happen, but I don't. It could be.
I just want to say that I love the idea of moving to that Monday. I would be happy to meet in Albany on that Monday. I like having
yeah.
The week free.
Right. It brings up a lot
of possibility for me, and I will be flexible if something happens and we have to move it. But that is.
No, I agree.
What other?
I'm on a few. I'm on four committees.
So you got a lot going on.
Oh my gosh.
Do you have any weeks left?
Everybody
has a week off legislative meeting off, right? We generally have no meetings that we get to. So everybody's got that week off. This would give us the fourth week and the first week off. And then the second week have two a meeting caucus, and then the third week I'd have a meeting and a caucus. And then regular. Actually, I have two meetings on that Monday night, and then the session Tuesday. So I'd be Monday, Tuesday, no, Wednesday session.
You're Monday, Tuesday, no,
Tuesday.
You'll be Monday, Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday.
It was Wednesday, Tuesday last year.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not happy with Ken because now it's Taco Tuesdays. Now it's Taco Tuesdays. We miss out on bringing Wednesdays. Because there's no more Wednesday meetings.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Sure.
Oh,
yeah.
Taco Tuesday must be
yeah.
The best couple of weeks. Now we have a Wednesday meeting.
I just have to cover it.
All right. So
that's
one,
great.
Right on the board of artistic now.
Yeah.
So now it's going to be my
The building is beautiful.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
The boss still the same.
Oh, yeah.
They'll send an email on it.
Yeah, we'll send an email. If anybody has an issue,
is that good?
Just let me know, and we'll go back to the time that it's...
Monday before clock is at no earlier than 6.
Yeah, we're going to have to
the meeting.
And you know what? We'll start at 6. If theirs runs a little late, then we'll push it to 6:15. But our commitment will be if you're not done by 6:15, then...
You can also...
Yeah, and I am sure we
can.
Yeah,
and if you see a hefty schedule, then give a heads up.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Right.
Something really controversial.
Okay, so you're going to stand by?
So I... 6 o'clock... I moved to 6:30 if it's heavy, right? Or did we say 6:30? What was the official time?
Six
or when the meeting's over.
And the next meeting is going to be February 10th.
That would be the
8th. What am I looking at?
That would have been
for the Wednesday. Oh, yeah, I figured. But yours isn't in the library.
That's what we were scheduling on Wednesdays, but you just moved it to Monday.
I thought this committee was going to meet up there.
You know, the original back.
It was, except for that February, because we moved it off to February 3rd because of senior
night. Right.
And
we had a wrestling.
We had a wrestling.
We looked at wrestling. We're starting at senior night.
And so you're okay with Monday?
Monday.
I'm totally
good with it. Yes. And I'm good. Wrestling's just, that's our last match.
So we lose Crest at all?
No.
No, it's Monday.
Who does
it? I'm the vice president of the Officer County.
It works for Mary. We're pretty flexible as long as you're okay with it. You're really the only one mileage-wise.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, getting off of doing Kingston doesn't really... Because really, I'm only really tight until, the Senate and all the use of session, which ends in June, so it's only like a couple meetings instead of even somewhat tight. So.
Yeah. I'll give you our cell numbers. If you're running late, we can hold it up to
them. So I don't think
it should be pretty flexible. We're all pretty flexible.
Yeah.
So, any other new business? Old business? Did you want to give us...
Oh, our new business. Sorry. I just want to... not exactly. Well, I guess it's old business. The micro leads. I just wanted to move the committee an update. So that a federal legislation was passed. We still have our resolution sitting on the table. Not sitting officially on the table, technically, but it's sitting in cyberspace. And I'm going to call the AG's office just to determine if there's a reason for us to still move forward with ours. The main thing that I could see would be timing, because the federal...
Years from now.
The federal, well, 18. It doesn't... 18 is really when it's fully implemented. So if we could put forward legislation that would move more quickly, but I'm going to see what the other counties put in, and I'll talk to the AG's office and see. I spoke to Keith Hudson very briefly today. So I'll report back to the next week and let you know.
Also, if you... looking into it, because I know, like, in Western New York, one of the counties passed the Bible Review bill, but they were lobbied hard by the chemistry lobby, and it excluded certain products, like, really, I mean, it was totally blatantly, like, to where it wasn't as, you know, strong of a bill as the Albany County's version.
Okay.
So I think it's important to look if the federal bill, you know, lobbied, the chemical lobby at all was able to get exemptions for certain products.
Okay.
Because we might be able to...
I mean, it passed unanimous in the U.S. Senate, which
was maybe possible. Feel like they had some possible... Because I know that was, you know, the submission of some of the environment, like even the state legislature, the bill, there was like the environmental group called the good bill and the fake bill.
Right.
Because they had taken out, they made a bunch of exemptions for products.
Okay, I'll ask.
But on the other token, sometimes... That's compromise, you know. You know, and I'm not.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of different versions. You know, some of them are willing to take out more chunks than other chunks.
Sometimes they just need more time. Sometimes the companies just need more time. They're gonna, you know.
So I think they recognize it. The industry people even recognize that.
That's the impression I got in the conversation today. That Kate Hudson said that. On that first glance, they're pretty happy with the federal legislation, but that it's just the timing, the 18, and that from their impression, it was just that the industry has kind of thrown up their hands and said it's not worth
it. Right, they realize what's going on.
And also, I mean, remember that most of these products contain non-plastics for the same purpose not long ago, so it's not as if it's there and you have to invent.
Right,
And I actually didn't even...
Do you want to tell these guys the mission of the committee first?
Okay, so we're looking into the committee's been meeting for, I don't know, last spring. So, and we've toured a lot of facilities around the state, final disposition facilities. So we've gone to see, in Delaware County, there's a waste-to-compost facility, where literally they take the tipping room floor and it becomes... marketable compost. Oneida Herkimer, which was the joint counties that had the flow control legislation, finally upheld, and they have a full system. They're now even using the heat off of their landfill, and it's not like a landfill of old, to grow food. They were talking about growing tomatoes, remember? So we've seen a lot of really interesting things, and the committee is now in the process of writing its report and recommendation.
What's the charge of the committee?
The charge of the committee is to look into solid waste management and disposal for the county as a whole, recognizing that when we passed flow control, it was just one piece of the puzzle, one piece of the big picture, and some people also felt just a stopgap for financial problems, but a debate we've had at this table and on the floor for a long time. So. When the agency was created, it was created with pretty much with the sole purpose of fighting a landfill and as a kind of political cover for the legislature, and then through the course of years, predating anyone at this table, and most everyone in the legislature, minus a few, the agency has felt pressure to refinance and thus brought about some of the, what's now, the high tipping fees.
I was here then.
You were here during the refinancing, really?
Yeah.
This was that couple, I think it was, led around November that list came out of potential.
Yeah, so that was
there
part
was a couple of not just
the greatest, I don't think. Yes, and that was not supposed to come out. We were doing an exercise with the DEC just to show that there were, or to prove to ourselves that there were viable property sites for landfill site. We also went to Sullivan County and met with Sullivan County about doing the potential of a joint venture, all just on a very broad stroke, because the committee is then going to report to the legislature as a whole with its recommendations for moving forward, which is going to basically coincide with the 10-year solid waste management plan that's been in DEC's hands for, what is it, 3.5 years? They've had it, but they haven't responded. So, and while it's not public, many members of the committee know some of what it does and does not contain, as do many members of which, I mean, spoilable, so you can get it, but, so we're really, I know it's been an amazing committee. It has legislators, it has members of the public, it's co-chaired by Hector Rodriguez and Carl Shipman, supervisor, as association, and then we have recycling specialists, we have women voters, so it's a very active and invested group of people, and the conversations are really exciting. I mean, I find all of this, who would think garbage would be so exciting, but the possibility of coming up with a solution is really exciting, and it'll be no small political feat to get this legislative body and subsequently the RRA to move on something. But I think as a body, as a whole, for a long time, especially anyone who's come through this committee, we've recognized that we do need a whole picture. I mean, even some of what you heard tonight, I mean, the disconnect, we are the only county in New York State that our enabling legislation does not allow for flow control of recyclables, and no one's exactly sure why that was put in there. They think maybe it was some kind of political
deal. We might be happy we don't have it.
Well,
otherwise you can get all the plastics.
I can't imagine why you wouldn't at least want the opportunity. We might not want to enact it, but just the idea that we can't without changing the enabling legislation. So there's a lot of nuance to all this, but we expect that our report will be back in the next, what is it, 2 months? Is it by March?
Our report? Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, I think it was the DEC.
No, our report. Yeah, I think it's by March. So, and it's, we'll keep everybody updated, but we're getting really close. And it's relevant in that you're going to hear, I mean, there are people, members of the current legislature, I hear it all the time, where it comes up, oh, we should just sell the agency. Oh, we should private. We should do this. We should, you know. Not a month ago at Ways and Means, Rich Jarrington said, we should start a committee to look into solid waste. We should start a committee. So, yeah, so we just have to, the report will hopefully shed light, at least on what we've come around to thinking, which is not, it's not set yet. We're still a work in progress with a lot of opinions at the table and a lot of critique, so.
Awesome. Thank you.
Sure. And
then, can we maybe get a list of all, like, the appointments this committee has, like, Solid Water Board or...
Oh, Solid Water Board.
So we can, yeah.
So...
You know what I mean? Is that okay? Mm-hmm. So we can discuss it.
Yeah, so Soil and Water, I'm currently on the current appointments, which are out of date, even though technically they're out of date, but we moved them for 2 years, which was erroneous and unlawful, whatever. Ken Ronk and myself. Ken's not going to, so the Republicans will be replacing Ken. I've served now for, I don't even know, I feel like it's 4 years on the board. I'd be really happy to turn over to a Democrat. We talked to the Democratic caucus. It's one majority, one minority.
Okay, how about a point?
Yeah. But it's definitely, it's been a real learning experience, and we'd want a member if we're going to actually show up for the meetings,
right.
Which are once a month. They're in Lloyd or Highland, right near the 299 near Lowe's. For the winter months, they're in the morning on a Wednesday, fourth Wednesday. And for once it becomes spring, because the main makeup of the board is farmers, active farmers, once it becomes spring, it's evening, 7 o'clock. It's an important and interesting board. I'll put it to our caucus and see if somebody interested I know is going out to their public caucus. But just to remind you too, the RRA, so I think that's critical.
Yeah.
And I really feel like if we could interview, and maybe if all members of the legislature could reach out and think through. I mean, these are critical appointments, especially considering all the work that the advisory committee's been doing, and with the report coming due, and the 10-year plan coming due, and all these other issues coming due. I really think the RRA is among the most important appointments that the legislative is the chair, but that the legislative body makes.
There's two
coming due.
And 3-year terms.
Yeah. Critical. And I forgot to ask Tim, but I'm assuming Leon doesn't want to do it anymore.
No, okay. No, he's done.
That's a lot of institutional knowledge leading with him, so.
It's tough one to lose. He's done a great job. Cool. Anything else, you guys? All right? Not bad news, huh? Hopefully we'll get into a lot of that. What time is it?
An hour and a half. That's fine.
Okay. Motion adjourned?
Fine.
No, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, everybody.